Hey everybody, welcome to Michelle is Money Hungry. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson. I am super excited about today's conversation. This episode is sponsored by the Money on the Mountain Retreat. If you're excited about talking all things money from the financially single woman's perspective, make sure you text Money on the Mountain to 44222 to get on the list and stay in the loop. Also, if you are looking to build your brand, grow your presence, make sure you take the Write Your First eBook Challenge today. The information on that will be in the show notes. So today's guest is, honestly, she doesn't even understand how much she made my day when she let me know that she was going to sponsor a spot for an attendee Money on the Mountain retreat. I literally cried. I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And then I sent her a ridiculous number of gifts. And I don't mean gifts like G-I-F-T-S, but G-I-Fs, because this is 2019 and we're goofy like that. And I just wanted to share this guest with the community, with the world. She's doing great things and you need to hear more about her. So hi, Cassandra. How are you doing today?
I'm really well. Thank you, Michelle. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm excited to chit-chat with you today. And for everyone who's like, Cassandra, you didn't say your last name. I know, because we're going to get there, okay? So my guest's name is Cassandra Dessant. She is a personal finance influencer. You will see her all around the internets, the interwebs, if you will. And I'm going to have her kind of introduce herself, what she does, and why she's in this space.
So, you know, official title is personal finance consultant, educator, and speaker.
Boom.
Yeah, boom. Let's drop that mic and walk away. However, my life encompasses so much more than that. You know, I happen to be a Gen Xer. I'm in my early 40s.
Gen X life.
Yeah, Gen X rep. And twice immigrant, you know, born in Trinidad, raised in Montreal, living in the good US of A. I'm in my early 40s. I'm a stepmother, a wife, a long distance caregiver to my mom, to my mother-in-law. And I'm also a singer-songwriter. So there's, you know, I wear many hats, and that's just the way of the world today. We are more than just a title.
You were talking about the different hats that you wear, and it's so funny because part of the reason why I feel such a connection with you, we've had a lot of similarities in terms of different moments in our lives. And I would love for you to talk about your financial experience before you got coupled up, because that's a big part of your story. Because I think that a lot of financially single women will find this interesting. She is married now, so she's coupled up, but a lot of her story that I connect with happened before she was coupled up. So if you could share a little bit about that, that would be wonderful.
So just to give you a background, I struggled with money management and being fiscally responsible for over a decade. So all of my 20s and the beginning of my 30s was a wash in terms of financial responsibility and creating a stable platform for me to build wealth. That didn't exist in my vocabulary. Instead, I was busy living paycheck to paycheck, living for today, trying to validate myself through material possessions, and it wasn't working. And I reached a point that I had gotten divorced in 2006. Part of the settlement of that divorce was that I decided to take on the marital debt, which was in addition to debt I was already racking up on well on my own. But so it was a combination of personal debt and marital debt that over time escalated to a total of about $55,000 of consumer debt. And I reached a point in early 2009, and at that time I was single, and realized that I had no more breathing room. My credit lines were completely maxed, if not extremely close to being maxed. My paychecks were barely covering my expenses and my debt payments, my minimum payments. And I I just had a moment of God honest clarity and realizing that I was in serious financial trouble. So I decided to create a plan to pay off this $55,000 worth of debt in 5 years. And through financial education, through asking for raises, through completing side hustles, and that included starting to charge for my services as a singer, as a background vocalist, and other, and leveraging other side hustle opportunities as well. And also cutting spending. That was a must. And I cut it pretty drastically to the point where I gave up my condo that I had, sold my condo, and moved into a roommate situation. So that is drastic from most people's perspective, to give up your independence, so to speak, to give up your a specific way of life that I was used to, and to humble myself enough to say that I needed to really do some things that would hasten this debt payment process, because I didn't want to be doing this forever. So as a single person was tough, because although I had friends I could talk to, and my mom I could also rely on for emotional support, you're on your own, you know, it's sink or swim, and I wasn't expecting anybody to come and save me. Right. So that was a learning, a time of great introspection, I should say, and learning, because I also had to do the emotional work of pulling back the layers and discovering what were really the root reasons for me living a life of financial ignorance. Because, you know, in the early 20s, I could pass off and say, well, I didn't know enough about money. But as I grew older and I was working as a credit analyst, I was working as a corporate credit analyst, managing millions of dollars. Wow. And doing so successfully. So there was shame there that I had to deal with, that I was successful from a professional standpoint, but I couldn't even manage my own personal finances. I dealt with self-worth issues, because really at the root, my issues stemmed from a place of fear growing up with a single mother who struggled to make ends meet for us. So I grew up in an environment where I was always worried that we didn't have enough, even though she always made sure that our basic needs were met, but we didn't have the luxuries that I was always dreaming about as a kid. So that translated into a lot of my behavior and spending patterns as an adult. And I needed to confront those and be able to come to terms with that and forgive myself for my own mistakes and be able to move forward without having to look back, just let it go, to be able to really let it go. So there was a lot of fundamental work that I had to do.
What were some of the things that you did to, this is like heavy mindset stuff. So could you talk about, you make this decision. I feel like you just got tired of the status quo. You're like, I'm so done. Like, I'm just done.
Right.
And by the way, for those of you who are having this experience, and maybe you're in your 40s and you're just now having this experience, it doesn't matter when you're having it. If you're having this experience of being fed up and done, embrace it and move from there. But kind of share what you did to educate yourself, empower yourself, and change your trajectory.
So from a dollars and cents perspective, I started reading books. I've always been an avid reader. I enjoy reading. It actually is a soothing experience for me, and it's highly educational, no doubt. However, I took to reading books like David Bach and Susie Orman. So that was a first start. Then I gravitated online and I discovered the world of blogging. And it's like Alice in Wonderland. You go down the rabbit hole and you're forever lost in a maze of information. So I learned about, you know, what is a debt snowball? I learned about debt avalanche. I learned about being a conscious spender. So many different concepts that I espouse and I still use today to help guide me on my debt repayment journey. So that was a technical approach. But then the more important to me work was to sit with myself and say, what have I done wrong? Because growth is about acknowledging in part, where did you go wrong and what have you done to contribute to that? Because the worst thing to do is to lay blame on people and things that truly they're not responsible for what you've done or where you're at. So I could say that, you know, I was financially ignorant. Yes, I was to a point, but I reached a level in my career that that excuse no longer flew, right? Mm. So I had to really step back and do some self-assessment and introspection. And I'm a journaler. I like to write a lot. So I spent a lot of time with myself, no one else around, to document how I was feeling, how money made me feel, how I used money to fill certain needs and voids. And only then could I, when I saw it on paper, I could just say to myself that, okay, this is serious. This is not just, okay, oh, I saw something at the store and I wanted it. No, it went far, far beyond the material. Mm. And I started to trace back, you know, how far did these feelings go? Was it just, you know, in my 30s? Did it go through my 20s? And I went back as far as I said, living with a single mother who I admire so greatly, and she means the world to me. And to see her firsthand struggles to help us to immigrate to Canada, to work 2 and 3 jobs. She side hustled before it became en vogue.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't do it because it was a luxury. She did it out of necessity. So looking back through all of those personal experiences, they shaped my behavior. They shaped my reactions with money. And I realized that I needed to treat money with the same respect that I should be treating myself.
Yeah.
And I wasn't treating myself with respect. So it was a direct manifestation for me personally as to why I was behaving that way with money. So that was the groundwork that I had to lay out before I could even begin to see progress with the technical applications of paying down debt, because some people could be very successful at paying down debt from a purely numbers perspective. You know, they do their spreadsheet, they lay it out, they map it out, they know how much they need in order to pay it off in X amount of time. But recidivism does exist in our world. You know, the amount of people that will work hard to pay off a debt and then 3 years later find themselves back in debt is very high, because I've actually done it. Keep in mind that a lot of people don't realize that I actually declared bankruptcy in my mid-20s. And
I didn't realize that, actually.
Yeah. And actually I have a post about it on my blog that talks about bankruptcy. I call it the B word mm-hmm. in the personal finance word, because it's not something that most bloggers do actually touch on. So I did talk about my personal story about bankruptcy, and it was largely due to ignorance. I was referred to the trustee in question. He very quickly laid out how it was going to go, and I was not offered options at that time of, for example, you know, debt consolidation or consumer proposal or any other alternative strategies. So with the information that was presented to me, I didn't call it into question. And so I went along and I declared bankruptcy. So that was one of the issues that I had to come to terms with and admit that, you know what, that was a very big mistake. I didn't realize the implications and the consequences to that one decision. And that financial ignorance, I never wanted to be in that position again. All to say is that it's a multi-pronged approach that I use. But for me, no one can tell me that I wouldn't have succeeded without doing the mind work, without getting emotionally vulnerable with myself and being able to let the past be the past. Now I know better, I must do better.
Your situation, and actually before we go there, how long did it take for you to pay that debt off? I feel like it happened faster than the 5 years.
Yeah, I actually paid it off in 3.5.
Wow.
as I said, when I made the decision to start paying it off, I reached a point where I knew that this is what I wanted to do, to the exclusion of almost everything else. Mm. And another thing that motivated me was that during the course of the debt payment, I met my now husband, and I actually met him in 2009 while all this was swirling around. But one thing that I had vowed to myself was that if this relationship was going to work and be successful, that I needed to draw the line in the sand and pay this debt off. I did not want to carry this burden, this mistake, into this new relationship and what resulted into a marriage. So I actually ended up paying the debt off 1 month after we got married. So close enough.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He was supportive. He was my cheerleader, but he never contributed to that debt. So that was, that was at my insistence. I was so, so focused on cleaning up this mess on my own. I wanted to have that sense of pride and that sense of accomplishment that I could do this on my own as a single woman.
What did it feel like when you hit that final paid off button?
So funny enough, I thought it would be so exciting and so relieving, and it was, but it was anticlimactic, to be honest. I was actually with my husband on the day that we did make the last payment, and it was November 21st, 2012.
Dang, you know the day.
I know. Yes, I celebrate that day every year without fail. That is a day. That is a milestone marker for me in my life. So I'll never forget that day. So on that day, we're sitting together. We're in New York City at the time, and quick pay, you know. And so I looked at my husband, and he looked at me, and high five. And I think we went out to dinner, and that was it. Because by that point, I had gotten into a new rhythm, into a new mindset that, okay, I have achieved something very significant, but this is not the end. This has now become just a stepping stone to something greater. So I had gone beyond the expected result in my mind, so to speak. So yes, I accomplished this one goal, and it's very important. But with this goal, it opened up doors, so, so many doors, not only for me financially, but for me mentally and spiritually and emotionally as a person. I grew as a person. And that is a gift that I don't think many people may have realized when you go through something like this, something with regard to paying off a significant amount of debt.
What is the difference in terms of when you were dealing with just the debt before you got into paying it off, really serious about paying it off? Could you describe the difference between what life was financially compared to what it's like now that everything's all taken care of? Describe maybe the logistics, the energy, like what was it like? And then we're going to kind of do a pivot in the conversation.
Sure. So pre-debt freedom, I was always under a certain level of stress and anxiety. I was always desperately waiting for the paycheck to hit the bank. I was always worried about making sure that I made my payments on time, because that's one thing I can say is that during the period I racked up the $55,000 worth of debt, I always made my payments on time. I never missed a payment. I never paid below the minimum payment. So my credit rating and score was not adversely affected, except for the fact that I had a very high debt load, right? But all that to say, I was living under a constant amount of anxiety and stress as a result of this debt. And that affects you physically. I gained weight. A lot of weight, in part as a result from stress. I was not as nice, I think, as a person as I am now, interestingly enough.
No, that makes sense, because when you're stressed out, you're kind of on edge.
Yes, yes. And especially, it's funny, I don't know if everybody can relate, but it happens all too often that you're so nice to strangers, but you're horrible to your own people, right?
Yes.
So that was me. I was Jekyll and Hyde during that time. And now, if you flip And it's been 10 years. We're in 2019. Can you imagine? So from 2009 to 2019, you know, we are still debt free. We only have our mortgage. We aim to pay off our mortgage in the next 5 years, as long as everything kind of goes to plan. And I am in a position where I could have walked away from my corporate job to do what I do now and live my calling and what I feel is my purpose. And being financially stable and well enough to do that, there's no way I could have done that 10 years ago. That was not even an option. Mm-hmm. I have options now. That's what being financially free and financial independence, you know, however you want to term that, it gives you the options to consider life differently.
If someone is listening to this conversation and they're like, well, you were in your 30s when you did this, what would you say if they're older and they're afraid to start and they're like, you know, like I've got this idea that a lot of people don't pay off debt because there's a couple of things. Like one, it's just freaking hard. It's hard to change what you've been doing, even if it's not working for you.
Absolutely.
Right. The other thing is just a lot of times people have the amount of debt, like their amount of debt is probably a lot of years of, for many people, they know that they have so much debt that it's going to take many years to pay it off. And they're just like, screw this. Like, I'll just suck it up and just make my minimum payments and not deal with it. So for those two concerns, what would you say?
The first issue is that there's no set age where you can't make a change in your life if you want to change. I understand that sometimes circumstances are difficult. I understand that amounts can be overwhelming. Yet for me, what do you want out of your life? Do you want to stay in a position where you are constantly looking over your shoulder, worried about the phone calls that are coming in because it may be creditors that are calling you for past due notices? Do you want to live in fear when it comes to your money? And you and only you can answer that. There is another way of life. You know, I'm proof of it. You are proof of it as you're paying off your debt, Michelle. There's so many people that are able to say that you can have a different result. It's not easy. I am the first to tell you that it's hard work. It is not an overnight success. It is something that you have to be consistent at. And again, it points back to your mindset. Is, are you ready to do the work so that you don't find yourself in this position 5-10 years down the road? Because this is such a huge sacrifice in terms of what you may need to do in order to shift your mindset into a money mindset. It's work that you've got to be able to commit to and you want to commit to. So I can't force anybody to do this for themselves, but all I can tell you is that if you are tired of your current situation, if you feel that you're stuck in a job or that you want to change careers, but the money that you're making right now is actually good, but you hate your job and you would like to do something different that potentially pays less, but you've got so much debt to pay that that's just unrealistic. That can still happen, but let's face what's in front of you right now, which is your debt that is limiting you. That's what I would say.
How did you get into, so you started reading blogs and things like that. How did you get into blogging itself and becoming an educator about money? Like, what happened to make you embrace that?
So I joined the personal finance community, if I remember correctly, around December 2013. So that was after I finished paying off my debt. So I had been reading blogs and sites, you know, anonymously when I was paying off debt. But I decided that perhaps I had something to say that might benefit somebody else, that my personal experience might help someone else. So I started a blog called More Than Just Money. And that blog was for me just a place to talk about my experiences, talk about what life was before, during, and after debt, and also to share with the community, because the personal finance community is such a great space overall. You meet such a diversity of people and experiences that they bring to the table. And it was just, for me, a place of learning, of sharing, and growth. So that's what encouraged me to start blogging back then.
What is your goal in terms of what you're doing now? Like, what do you hope to have happen as you reach out and connect with communities and educate people about money? And who's your core audience that you're hoping to have a conversation with?
I primarily serve Gen Xers and those that are in disadvantaged communities. And by what I mean by disadvantaged is those who are making either at poverty level wage or below the median income wage, people of color, other communities that are not considered mainstream. So that is a segment of the population that honestly, most of the personal finance community does not address or does not direct their information to. And partly it's due to because that's some of these people are just not online, right? So this is why I do local outreach, in-person speaking engagements, because it is important to meet people where they are. And not everybody is online. Not everybody's on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. So I believe in getting back to basics. And with Gen Xers, we are online, but we still prefer one-on-one connections based on my personal experience. And as a certified financial education instructor, I'm also a certified credit analyst. I believe that my personal experience and my professional in education, how I am able to tie it together, is an authentic brand. I am an authentic brand. I believe in who I am. I believe in serving others. I've always believed in the concept of being a servant leader. I am first and foremost here to serve, here to promote and support people in my community and beyond, that you can accomplish this. You have it within you to do it. And I am just here to provide the tools and encouragement and guidance if you want to achieve what I already know that you can do.
In addition to speaking to communities, what is it, do you do like one-on-one work, or do you do group workshops? How do you kind of get the information to people if they want to have an ongoing relationship with you?
So there's both ways. So for those who are comfortable and prefer coaching sessions, I provide one-on-one coaching sessions. And that you can access through my website. Also, speak in the community, and I am also partnering with United Way's Real Sense program, which is a outreach program that provides tax information, personal finance education to support individuals and families. So oftentimes I will present in libraries, in schools, in different local organizations and their chapters. So I end up, as a result, meeting a lot of the community through these efforts.
Part of the reason I wanted to share you, I wanted to interview you anyway. I always want to interview all my money nerds because there's so many of you doing incredible things and changing lives, and just I'm inspired by what you do and who you serve. But you did a thing recently that just made my day. And really, like, to the point where I sent a ridiculous number of gifts, like I said, might be sharing more. And you very kindly decided to sponsor an attendee's spot, basically to attend the Money on the Mountain retreat. And I can't even explain how much that meant to me, because I've actually been on the receiving end of scholarships like that. And those scholarships almost always feel a little emotional. This whole interview, I'm like, oh my God, she totally gets it. She's totally, like, I get it. And that's why I felt like it was so important to share you, because you're empathetic versus sympathetic. Like, you've walked in my shoes, you know? And so I get you. And when you said that you were going to sponsor a spot, I was like, that is going to make, that's going to change someone's life. That's going to breathe energy in their fight towards a better financial life. And I know this from my own personal experience. So if you could share a little bit about why you decided to do that and what your hope is, and just also a little bit about your speaking at Lola as well. So I would love to hear a little bit about both.
Sure. There's two reasons why I made that decision to provide a scholarship or sponsorship of an attendee. The first is that I fundamentally believe in what you are looking to do. I think it is important to address the single woman, financially single woman, and their realities, because the majority of the personal finance community is, how should I say, it's just a natural tendency to talk to couples in a relationship or people who are partnered. And the reality is that living life on your own or living your life as a financially single woman is not easy. You are forced to reckon with yourself all the time. You have to carry the load on your shoulders. You know, there's no one there to split your bill. There's no one there to bail you out when you know, you've got a car issue and your emergency fund is low, and you've got to be the one to respond to all of these issues. It's not easy. I also grew up with a single mom, and just as again, looking at how she had to fight is the word. She had to battle through, you know, financial choices and situations. And I think what you're doing is admirable. And I wanted to concretely support that, not just with words, but in deeds. And the second reason is that I wanted a woman to be able to benefit, especially if they really want to be there, but financially it would be a struggle. It would put them further in debt in order to attend. That's not what I want. I want them to get a head start. And if this sponsorship helps one person to do just that, then I feel truly, truly blessed to be able to do that for them.
For those people who are interested in working with you or following your journey, getting on your list so that you can inspire them with information and let them know where you're speaking next. And actually, before we do that, talk a little bit about what you're going to talk about at Lola. So we collaborate. We do not compete. I am super excited. I'm going to be on a panel at the Lola Retreat in Seattle, Washington, this August of 2019. Cassandra is going to be speaking, and I'm so thrilled. So what will you be talking about?
So that is an interesting topic. So again, traditionally, when you think about love and money, you naturally are inclined to think about couples or those who are in partnerships. And this session is actually going to be all-encompassing. So it's going to talk about money and relationships with your friends. You know, if you're making more money than your close friend, how do you navigate those conversations? And when you want to do activities with that person, but your budget is limited and theirs isn't, how do you come to a compromise and a consensus that both people can feel good about? As well, I will talk about what's called the black tax. It's basically,
I paid it.
Yeah. Those of us who are dealing with multiple pulls at our finances through for different reasons. For example, you know, I'm a long distance caregiver. We support multiple households to different degrees. So there's a financial pressure that others just don't necessarily understand as a result. Also as well, how to talk to children about money. You know, we need to raise children who are financially savvy and not allow, you know, them to grow up and not know what it is to deal with their student loans or how to pay a credit card bill or how beyond that, how to choose a career that is both financially rewarding, but that also speaks to their spirit, you know? So these are conversations that I want to help people to be able to break that financial ice with their loved ones and initiate discussions to see that money permeates every aspect of your lives, and you want to be on good terms with people and with their money. So that's what I'm going to be touching on.
That's kind of a really deep topic and very meta.
Very meta.
So I'm excited to, I can't wait for that session. So when people listen to this, I know they're going to reach out to you. How can they do that? Where can they follow you? And tell us all the things.
Sure. So my site is www.cassandradasent.com. So it's KassandraDasent. I also run a Facebook page called Minding Your Money KD. So you can check that out. I'm actually running a FB Live video series for the month of March every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I should say now. As well, you can find me. I'm always chatting on Twitter, and I recently joined the world of Instagram. Both of my handles are the same, which is my name, Cassandra Dasent. As well, you are curious about what I do as a musician, you can also visit my site. There is a SoundCloud link that you can go on, and you can hear cuts from my first album called Road to Rebellion. So that's the artistic and creative side of me. So that's where I live on the World Wide Web, is CassandraDasent.com.
Cassandra, you should have told me it was Dasent, not Dasent. I'm judging you right now. I feel like we have to have another conversation just about
the name.
Well, your name. And then I was thinking the side hustling in your space, your area of love and focus, because your side hustle was your singing, your music.
I still side hustle.
Oh, holla. That's a whole nother episode. We won't do it this spring, but that's an episode we've got to talk about, because I think a lot of people get in their heads that they can't side hustle in the area of focus that they most enjoy.
Right.
And so for me, like when I do side hustles, I love talking to people. So I've done side hustles with the same group of people doing the same kind of thing, handing out a product and talking to people.
Right.
Winning. Love it. I was talking to you about that before we got on the show. I love writing, actually. So my romance novels, I consider currently a bit of a side hustle, but I love it because I love to read and write, and I'm writing and reading in a genre that I really enjoy.
It's a natural extension for you.
Oh, right? Yeah. So it's super easy. It's the easiest thing I've done, actually, out of all the stuff that I've done online, is my books. So I feel like that's a whole nother conversation.
That
totally
is. Yeah.
Later. So thank you so much. I listeners, I had that. So the day we're recording this is the day after daylight savings time. And literally I thought my head was going to explode because I had a massive headache and I was like, I can't record. And then I was like, oh wait, the headache's gone. I can record. So Cassandra was so sweet. And it was like, no, I'm still available. You're lucky. So I'm just thrilled to get this episode. There were moments when you were speaking when I was just like, oh my God, she gets my life. And I'm hoping, and I know that there are going to be other listeners feeling the same way. So thank you.